From the high ground of Texas, it's Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a donor or management-controlled muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, the governor called a special session immediately when the regular session ended so they could get tax relief passed and some border security. So the House immediately, a few hours later, goes to work, adopts its tax relief plan again. Same one the Senate wouldn't go along with, I guess. And then gavel sine die. In other words, they're done. They gaveled out of this first special session. There is an ugly arrogance of Texas House leadership that should be troubling to most. It's not a game, Speaker Phelan. It's our money and our government. And that's true for you members who hoot and holler and think this tit-for-tat with the Senate is all a lot of fun. Now, I'm a political junkie. I love some of that stuff, but I don't like this flippancy that this speaker and many of the members have. It's one thing to have the competition between the two bodies. That's how it was designed. But we ought to be hearing that presented in a very serious way about our future, that it's us, not you lot, but us, our future and our money. We hear that from the lieutenant governor. Maybe too much, actually, sometimes as far as fighting between the bodies. But nevertheless, what we get out of the House is a flippancy that I think only can be possible when you're dealing with people who are so arrogant they believe they're the elected ruling class and the rest of us don't matter. In other words, they sort of forget this is really about our money and our government. It's not them. We only lend them power temporarily through our vote. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, look out for your people and your bottom line by creating a more reliable and safer workplace with the drug testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906, AlliedCompliance.com. It's easy to do, and it costs a lot less than you think, folks. An interim attorney general's been appointed by the governor this afternoon. A temporary win for Texas history in a story I told you about a week or so ago in a Galveston court. And a look at the Texas service and retail economies. Phelan's impeachment game. Bad form, bad precedent, unnecessary, and embarrassing. That and more ahead on Pratt on Texas. Listen to Pratt on Texas on demand anywhere, anytime. Whenever it fits your schedule, get a recording of the show. That's called a podcast. A recording of the show and other interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. If you hear something on this impeachment stuff or whatever you want others to hear, just go there, get the link to the podcast, and send it to them. There's other than telling, going and doing business with our advertisers is the most important thing, and telling them that you appreciate them being on Pratt on Texas. That's the only reason we're here. And let me tell you, we're still in rebuilding mode, and it's tenuous at best. So that's the best thing you can do. The second best thing you can do for us is send those podcast links around to people. If you have a website, you can even get the link and embed our daily podcast and other extra podcast extras on your site. All right, my friends, let's get to it. We are loaded up. Governor Abbott has appointed John Scott as interim attorney general. If you don't remember him, he just left as kind of the post-election troubleshooting secretary of state. He lives in Fort Worth, married, longtime family man. He served under Abbott as a deputy attorney general when Abbott was attorney general. And so they have a long history. He's one of Abbott's confidants. And the governor says, I appoint John Scott for this role based on the Texas Constitution to serve for a temporary period during the Texas Senate's resolution of the impeachment proceedings. So John Scott has been put in that role. The Dallas Fed's out with yesterday. We had just terrible, bad news, continued bad news out of the manufacturing sector. Here we go for the service sector. Price and wage pressures eased, but growth held steady, but it ain't great. Looks like there's a little growth in the service sector, a little easing in wage and price pressures, but expectations on future business activity were mixed. The revenue index stayed positive, but future service sector activity indexes like employment and capital expenditures, well, they were somewhat positive, but they said it was mixed here. It wasn't that mixed. It's just that the general business activity index remains negative. And that's because, remember, all the service sector stuff, despite what all the people in the 90s tried to tell everybody, that that day of making things is gone and the economy is all about the service sector. It can be a big part of it, certainly is in this country, but it's still driven by actual productive things, and the service sector is generally providing services to productive parts of the economy in terms of real productivity of tangible goods. Texas retail sales deteriorated in May. They've just been horrible for a long time. The sales index fell 6 points. It's bad, continues to be bad. Perceptions of the economy worsened in the retail sector. Price pressures eased, but wage pressures increased considerably in May. It's interesting. We didn't see that in manufacturing, and we did not see that in the overall service sector, but in the subset of retail, wage pressures increased considerably in May. Sales price index fell 9 points, so, you know, you're getting less money for what you're doing. And, of course, future outlook for the future is terrible because it's been terrible for a long time. We got a temporary win on Texas history. I brought you that big story, I don't know, was it a week ago or so, about the trial going to be held, or the hearing for an injunction for the Texas State Historical Association, which is not a government agency. The director, J.P. Bryan, who, by the way, doesn't even take any money for executive director. He's a rich guy. It's bailed the whole thing out financially in the past before, and he's done it again. Well, it has a set of bylaws that says that you've got to have balance, 10 academics, 10 non-academics. What's happened is, under the leadership that about bankrupted them again, they've let the lefty academics take over, and it's not right. It's not according to the bylaws. So he's trying to fix that, and, of course, this Walter Bunger, who hates Texas history and Texans, yeah, he's a far lefty woke moron, their chief historian, who should have never been hired for that. They're all fighting over this. Well, the judge in Galveston County, the 10th District Court, yesterday granted a temporary injunction in the case, and then there'll be a trial on the case beginning on September 11th, and that's good news for Texas history. I use their stuff every day. This association is proud, but it's being like all institutions. It's the woke far left revolutionaries have come in and they've undermined it, and then all of a sudden, you know, pounced to take it over and rewrite our history. These are radical, super radical leftists, which is what they do everywhere in the world. They've ever gained control, they rewrite the history. And the good folks are trying to do what's right there. And, of course, the left doesn't care about the bylaws or the rules. They never do. They didn't in all these churches and everywhere else that they've taken over and destroyed. And they write a lot of the history. It's used in our schools. That's why a lot of the headlines say, court that'll affect how Texas history is taught. Well, not directly, but indirectly it certainly does. One person's dead in a power plant explosion in Franklin, Texas. KWTX reporting out of Robertson County. The Oak Grove power plant had apparently a boiler or something explosion. And it was a boiler explosion. Killed one worker. The plant's still up and running, producing power. The Lubbock Avalanche Journal reports former O'Donnell boys basketball coach admitted yesterday in court, federal court, that before a magistrate, that he did indeed send a text message to a 14-year-old girl for a month last year, sending it, I guess, over and over. But Nicholas Bueno, 27, says, but he wasn't trying to groom the girl into a physical sexual relationship with him. Well, I guess he'll get to argue all that over time, but he admitted to sending the text. More of this terrible, unethical behavior that seems so common these days, and even in our schools. Today in Texas history, it was the end of the era. It was 1881, the 31st of May, that Fort Griffin closed down, my friends. And also, it's when the last passenger train left Union Terminal in Dallas in 1969, before, of course, later becoming the Amtrak Terminal. Back in a moment.
Patience is a virtue. Fret on Texas continues after this.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
My entire trip, hotels, food, transport, and fun for both Isabel and me to Dental Care's Dr. Silvia Zuniga in Costa Rica cost us less than half my lowest dental work quote at home. I'm not alone in learning how much of a do-not-miss opportunity this is. A farmer from Crosby County had dental work needs that would have cost $25,000 here. He went to Dr. Zuniga at Dental Care, a cosmetic dental specialist, by the way, and had all 28 of his teeth crowned, each shaped uniquely for him, and two root canals he needed, all for under 10 grand. He had a great time, went to the Pacific Side beaches for a few days too, and his total hotel bill for the entire trip was under $1,000. Costa Rica is one of the hottest tourist destinations in the world. It's very safe, very easy to get around in, and not expensive to fly to from Texas, including on Southwest. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Now, a man who understands that elected officials work for us. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Told you at the top of the show that the governor's appointed the former Secretary of State, Scott, as the interim attorney general until this impeachment mess is dealt with one way or the other. Remember, the Senate does not hold a trial on whether the person being impeached, Paxton, is guilty or innocent of any criminal or civil crimes or anything like that. I mean, that's what people seem to think, and they're going to argue all that stuff, but that's not it. All they are going to do is make a determination on whether or not the person should be removed from office, and then they make a second determination on whether or not that should bar the person from ever holding elected office again. That's it. Impeachment is a fully political act. It is not a court of law. It is not about breaking the law, despite the fact that so many of these state reps and people have hung their hat on that issue. And granted, it is interlaced, but it is separate. Now, there are some that really just can't seem to understand these separations. Members of the House took less than 2 days, fewer than 48 hours from a star chamber-like committee vote and report to convene and issue only the third impeachment in Texas history. That, my friends, is a setup, an unethical third world or Soviet-style show trial type operation. Do not buy the grand jury analogy for the House operation, because in a grand jury, there's no consideration of both sides. It's not a grand jury. It's not a criminal investigation. This unethical, not the impeachment vote anyway, this unethical show trial event pretended to have equal time allotted to both pro and anti-impeachment debate in the House, but in practice, that was a joke. The pro-impeachment forces had months to prepare in secret with taxpayer-paid staff. The anti-impeachment or just questioning forces had nothing exculpatory provided them and only about 24 hours to even consider what to say. This process, in the form it has taken under Speaker Dade Phelan, is an embarrassment of international proportion, and state representatives who went along with it demonstrated a negligent disregard for Americanism and our commitment to due process, or at least some form of fairness. Also, this unique and unprecedented use of the veto power, or excuse me, the impeachment power, sets a precedent that gives the speaker and his cabal, any speaker of any party, unprecedented power to intimidate any state elected official, including members of the House, an intimidation that will now forever be in full force and yet likely unseen. It is the establishment of an extreme power system within the Texas House. Remember, secret investigations, launching it very quick, boom, 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 that's it. You're ruined. You're removed from office until the Senate does something. It's the establishment of an extreme power system in the Texas House that was already rather extreme. It makes the speaker and those in his immediate circle so powerful that it dilutes not just the votes of the people, but also of the elected members of the legislature. When you hear elected officials who cite Mr. Paxton and the unproven, but possibly true, allegations as justification for this travesty, you're listening to either intentional misdirection from how the use of impeachment has been unfairly and dangerously used by the House in order to self-absolve for this travesty of anything even loosely related to justice in the American sense, or you're talking with people who have understanding, wisdom, or intellect too low to serve as a representative in a successful republic, as they cannot understand preservation of the integrity of the republic and its principles is always of greater importance than the circumstances of any one person or situation. These people cannot understand the idea that this embarrassing abuse of the process is wholly separate from any allegations or suspicions of Mr. Paxton or anyone else. Instead, it is about how this powerful and almost never used power was wrongly deployed by House leadership. A surprise announcement of a secret investigation, not open to members, elected members, and which took only unsworn testimony, which of course is meaningless hearsay, and forcefully excluded evidence that ran contrary to leadership's predisposition. A one-sided media show that quickly followed, in which leadership's hand-picked politicians painted the subject as guilty of most everything except national treason, in which most media pointed out little new information was actually uncovered or presented by that committee. A vote of the Star Chamber-like committee to recommend impeachment after again refusing to hear opposing evidence. And then, in fewer than 48 hours, a trial on impeachment in the House in which pro and anti, or questioning, forces were to debate with even time. And to correct an often repeated fallacy, it was not a grand jury-like proceeding, but a debate on impeachment, which is completely a political action. The Senate holds a trial on the merits of the impeachment issued by the House, and that trial is not a finding of criminal or civil guilt or innocence. It is a wholly political issue of whether one set of politicians believes there is enough bad behavior in their opinion and not required to be based on fact, on the part of another politician to justify overruling voters of the state and removing that target from office. Timeline of the slapdash impeachment enterprise. Tuesday, 23rd of May, House Committee on General Investigating, the Star Chamber, said it's been secretly investigating Paxton for months and claiming the justification was because the Attorney General asked the legislature for funds to pay a settlement to end litigation with so-called whistleblowers who were fired from the Office of Attorney General. That's rather odd, because that is the absolute legal and proper thing to do. You go to the legislature and ask for the funding, and yet that's the predicate for impeachment. In their own words, by the way, the committee held a one-sided media show after which even the state's Paxton-hating media admitted little, if anything, new was presented that hadn't been reported well before the election. That was Tuesday the 23rd. Thursday the 25th, the Star Chamber-like House committee voted to recommend impeachment. Saturday the 27th, the House took up a pro and con debate over impeachment report. The impeachment report from the committee ultimately voted 121-23 to impeach, which immediately removed Paxton from office until the Senate speaks on the matter. Only one Democrat, Harold Dutton Jr., did not vote for impeachment, but voted present, not voting. 23 Republicans voted against impeachment, including former Speaker of the House, Tom Craddock of Midland. The rest followed Phelan's leadership team of Democrats and Republicans. Not only did the House wield the surprised announcement of Attorney General and impeachment power in a manner that makes a mockery of general American principles of due process and fairness, the amazingly rushed push it through before anyone has time to reflect or prepare for debate being the undeniable example of such, House leadership launched this debacle in the last week of the 140-day legislative session, even though it has the right to convene for impeachment at any time outside of the pressures of regular session. Was this late-hour rush so that members would mostly go along with the matter and be less likely to object to the shockingly hurried process? Probably. But even if not, it was beyond irresponsible to introduce such an extreme and weighty action into the House calendar during the final days when the body didn't even have time to consider and pass bills such as property tax relief. Another problem with the decision to use impeachment, a thing done only twice in Texas history, despite many scandals and scoundrels, is that it has a bunch of ambitious partisan politicians with political scores to settle, substituting themselves for proper law enforcement investigation, courts, and juries. Let me repeat that. The other problem with this decision to utilize impeachment to pull out the nuclear option in the historic sense in Texas, it's only been done twice in the whole history of the state, despite tons of scandals and scoundrels, is that it has a bunch of ambitious partisan politicians with political scores to settle, substituting themselves for proper law enforcement investigation, courts, and juries. Despite the moniker of chief law enforcement officer of the state, the AG doesn't run, control, or have much of any authority over the state's Department of Public Safety and its highly esteemed Texas Rangers. He also doesn't control, has zero authority over the FBI and more. So I'm going to make this case why this was a terrible substitution for law enforcement in a moment. Stay with me.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
From pallet forks to parking lot sweepers and brush cutters and snow blades to land levelers, West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need. West Texas Attachments is your go-to on all skid steer attachments, rent or buy. Find out more at westtexasattachments.com or visit the new facility at 1107 East Slayton Highway, inside the loop near Bruckner Truck. West Texas Attachments, 1107 East Slayton Highway. All the skid steer attachments you'll need.
Do you have a commercial property for sale or lease? Tired of a for sale sign gathering dirt, storm, dust in front of your place with no activity and no prospects? Office, retail, restaurant, or industrial? Call me, Carl Tepper, a commercial agent with Exit Realty of Lubbock. I'm low on inventory because I've sold and leased everything. I'll get your property sold too. Call me, Carl Tepper, at 806-470-2354 for no obligation appointment. That's 806-470-2354.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem. Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually.
You can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. HurleyBenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y Benefits.com.
You are in the right place at the right time for news and commentary of Texas from the right perspective. It's Robert Pratt with the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. If you missed the last segment, this is all one idea and it needs to be taken together. So go to the podcast this evening after 6 p.m. and listen to it. It's Phelan's impeachment game, bad form, bad precedent, unnecessary and embarrassing. After having made serious points about other things, I've gotten to another problem with the whole concept of using impeachment in this particular case. It's only been done twice in Texas history, is that, you know, despite, as I said, many, I love that phrase, many scandals and scoundrels, proud of that, is that it has a bunch of ambitious partisan politicians with political scores to settle, substituting themselves for proper law enforcement investigation, courts, and juries, which would work fine in this case. Despite the moniker chief law enforcement officer of the state, the attorney general does not run, control, or have much of any authority over the state's Department of Public Safety and its highly esteemed Texas Rangers, the nation's oldest law enforcement, professional law enforcement group. The AG also has zero authority over federal law enforcement, such as the FBI. Thus, there appears to be no reason why law enforcement could not investigate the attorney general and take any evidence to prosecutors, also not under the power of the AG, prosecutors, and move a case in the normal manner. In fact, there is evidence that agencies, including the FBI, have looked into at least some of the matters covered by the House's star chamber-like investigative committee. Thus, there is no evidence that there was a need to invoke impeachment, which should be A last resort in this type of case, in which the issues are alleged are generally criminal in nature as opposed to political. What I mean by political, well, such as having an attorney general, for example, who just refuses to carry out state laws passed by the legislature and signed by the governor. That's a perfect place for impeachment to be the immediate action of the legislature. Now, you got to go back and listen to the first half of what I've been talking about, because that still wouldn't excuse, and you should still oppose impeachment carried out in the form and fashion that the House did it, this slapdash effort. Need more evidence that there's no barrier to having this type of case handled by law enforcement as opposed to a political body? You know, bunch of politicians with political scores to settle, substituting themselves for law enforcement investigation, courts and juries? Well, the last two Democrat Texas attorneys general were both investigated and indicted through standard law enforcement practice. Jim Maddox was indicted for bribery and prosecuted in Travis County and acquitted by jury after a long trial. Serving as Texas Attorney General after Maddox was Dan Morales, who oversaw the landmark financial settlement with tobacco companies. Morales ended up pleading guilty in federal court for conspiring to break the law to get a piece of the huge attorney fees in that huge settlement between Texas and tobacco firms. No evidence has been presented that the extreme action of impeachment was needed due to any problem with law enforcement being unable to investigate or act. Nor have we seen consideration by House leadership of how impeachment may hamper any state or federal investigation into Paxton, or the idea that it is possible that law enforcement investigations have gone nowhere because the evidence, when considered in total and not just one-sided, does not support any action. Is there a use for impeachment in this current case of the Attorney General? Possibly. But the point is that if such a grave and seldom used power is invoked by the legislature, it should be done with appropriate veneration for the seriousness of the process. Done in such a manner that does not create a new political weapon for House speakers to use to intimidate and punish political enemies, and in a manner with a fairness of timeline, investigation, and House debate, as opposed to the slapdash and slanted performance put on by Speaker Phelan and 121 short-sighted or small-minded members last Saturday and last week. In short, members should have voted against impeachment on Saturday, 27 May, not because they thought the subject of such was not guilty of anything justifying such, but because the process was hurried through at the wrong time in a manner that made a mockery to the world of Texans' commitment to fair, transparent government. If the process had been slowed after a no vote Saturday, that would not have prevented members from voting yes at a later date after having exercised actual, adult, human, responsible deliberation. And you know, one other little addendum to that. The people justifying this, well, he's doing this, doing that. No, okay, should we have impeached Governor Rick Perry? I mean, there was enough evidence there that the prosecutor's office got him indicted in a court, in a judicial setting. He was indicted. Should we not have rushed immediately and that way suspended him from being governor for months? How about Kay Bailey Hutchison? How about former Lieutenant Governor Democrat Bob Bullock? How about Jim Maddox? How about Dan Morales, who was Attorney General into the Bush governorship? Should we not have immediately jumped? There's a reason people didn't jump to this, and there's a reason that the only non-scandal-plagued former speaker still serving in the legislature, Tom Craddock of Midland, voted no. They understand that this is the whole thing has been carried off in a terrible way. By the way, there are some rhinos that voted against this too. The proportions line up just like the speaker vote. All the Democrats and the people that are going to go along with the speaker so they have power, and then the few other people willing to, you know, to fight. It was a little bigger than that, but still. It's a mix of people, but if you listen to them, they were all thinking, the ones who voted no were thinking about the larger issues of preserving the Republic's institutions and legitimacy. Everything they had to say Every one of them I caught a quote on, this is the way they were talking. The ones on the other side, it was, well, there's just so much muck surrounding this guy. There's just so much muck around him. We had to do this. Really? You had to? You had to? Wait a minute. You knew about this muck before the session began. You could have called in a session for impeachment. Doesn't require the governor for that. You could have impaneled impeachment last year when all this stuff about the AG came out. You could have had your secret investigation, which I think is part of the problem of this, because impeachment is purely political. A legislative body is supposed to be open to the world. It should not be engaging in secret investigations. Now, certainly when they're handling an internal body disciplinary action, which this is not, this is an action against another elected officer of the state over in an executive agency branch. Certainly when you're taking testimony on something like Representative Brian Slayton and things between employees and all that, and it's an internal body discipline, you have the leeway to do this stuff in secret, even if it may not be the best thing. Maybe it should, but in this case, it should have never been in secret. I mean, that's part of the problem with this. Legislative bodies, all the hearings, all the committees, this stuff is all supposed to be in public because it's a policy decision. It is not a criminal investigation, despite the dullard-headed comments that I'm reading from people out there in the House who went along with this. It is a purely political act. The act is this person needs to be removed from office to protect the state. Even the House's own managers and their own leadership put that out in a statement before the big hearing on before their show trial Saturday. I guess they don't understand this. And then in the Senate, as I've already mentioned, it's not a trial on whether the man's, if they find him guilty of everything, he doesn't go to jail. It still has to end up going to law enforcement in the courts, which is why this is a stupid use of impeachment in this case. And believe me, there's plenty of political capital out there from a Speaker of the House and other members of the legislature to even just make private calls to law enforcement bodies and say, what's going on here? Look into this. And I'm telling you, it's already been done. That's kind of an abuse too. What they did completely was an abuse. It should have been opposed just on the grounds of how it was done.
Pratt returns after the break.
Employers, are you needing to fill a position? I'm Micah White with Goodwin Recruiting. I can take the burden and headache off your plate and find the best candidate for you. Email mwyatt@goodwinrecruiting.com. That's mwyatt@goodwinrecruiting.com. Email me for more information and let me know that you heard it on Pratt. Get the Goodwin team working for you. Email mwyatt@goodwinrecruiting.com. Connecting great people to great employers. That is the Goodwin Recruiting way.
Your 401k is likely one of your most important assets, but it's only part of a comprehensive retirement strategy. Edward Jones can help you understand how your retirement assets fit into your entire retirement picture so you can work toward meeting your unique retirement goals. Contact Mark Miller, your Abilene Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 3849 Oldham Lane or visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
At Thacker, every piece of jewelry represents a moment in time worth celebrating.
But when the jewelry leaves our store, that's when the real story begins. Her engagement ring will tell the story of the loving relationship that you share.
Your wedding band tells the story of the perfect day when you two came together. I'm blessed to be in a business where every piece of jewelry that leaves our store goes on to tell a beautiful story. We hope you'll start your story with Thacker's.
Hey now, I'm Robert Campbell. My wife and I own Campbell Containers, and we've been in business over 14 years. We sell and rent shipping containers here in Abilene and the Big Country. We sell used and new 20 and 40 foot containers. We also rent containers if you need a little extra storage space for the short term. Stop by our yard on I-20 just east of Abilene at exit 297. Each one for sale will have a little orange price tag on the door. Or check us out at CampbellContainers.com.
Now, here's a man who thinks you take the good with the bad from an elected official. But when the bad threatens liberty, you throw the bum out. It's Robert Pratt with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. All right, my friends, there is an arrogance. There's an arrogance out of House leadership that's flippant about its arrogance. You know, it instead of, oh, we're going to win and we're going to fight the Senate and we're going to do this and that, it's sort of a flipping you the bird type thing. That's what happened when they all gaveled out. After, here's how Hogan Gore described it in Statesman last night, after failing to pass record property tax relief for Texans, because, you know, they stopped and did stuff like this impeachment for a day. After failing to pass record property tax relief for Texans during the state legislature's 88th regular session, which ended Monday, lawmakers were called back to the Capitol for a special session Tuesday. That's right, just yesterday. And after each chamber passed its own tax plan, the House adjourned, sine die. They didn't gavel to wait to negotiate with the Senate. No. They adjourned the special session. That means it has to be called again by the governor. 3 hours after the regular session ended Monday, Governor Abbott called a special session for lawmakers to deliver on the GOP's promise for tax relief and to crack down on human smuggling across the border. Senators convened. They adopted their form. The House went and passed its own property tax proposal, which they couldn't, you know, get agree. It said it was, and then adjourned sine die, which was came with a raucous cheer from the 143 members in the chamber. This is something that is really beginning to bother me. This flippancy. It is not your government, Representative Burroughs. It is not your money, Speaker Phelan. It is not your liberty in things being talked about, Mr. Guerin of Fort Worth, or any of the rest of you. It is our money and our government, and we deserve better. We deserve seriousness. Well, Robert, they're serious about not going along with the Senate. Okay, whatever. You want to call it that. Everything I see on this stuff just continues to bother me about a kind of arrogance that's new. It's not the arrogance of power that's the old style. It's this flippancy about the whole matter. As if it's all a game. It's a game with our money and our liberty, folks. That's the sign of people who hold, even subconsciously, if not consciously, a ruling class, an aristocracy type attitude of themselves, members of the club. And that's very un-American, by the way, but it's pretty much human nature, and our founders and framers knew it. Abbott said he was supportive of the House's plan. He sent out a thing saying it was the only thing, tax cut plan that was passed that was germane to the special session, which is bull. And this is one where, by the way, I don't really have that big of a problem with the House's plan. I like parts of the Senate plan, too. They're all arguing over it. I think they're both good things. But here's the point. Lieutenant Governor is correct in this. He said about Governor Abbott, he seems misinformed about the roles of the executive and legislative branches of government. While the governor has the sole authority to call the legislature into session, the legislature writes the bills. The courts have been crystal clear on this. Patrick continued and said, I stand by our bill. The Senate is germane to the call. Legal precedent is clear at this point. Something Governor Abbott and Speaker Phelan should remember. For any bill to pass, it must go through both the House and the Senate. And the Lieutenant Governor's right on that. It's a tax relief plan. It's germane to the call. I don't care. The governor cannot get away with crafting the call with the words like he tried in this that forces the policy decision of the body. It just can't do it. I mean, it's bull, and I guarantee Abbott knows it too. So, the Senate, they didn't go sine die. They adjourned till Friday, and they're ready to work with people and work on all this stuff, but the House just, and I agree with Patrick, the House threw in the towel. The Senate continues to work. You know, the Senate worked earlier in the session. They worked later in the session than the House. They're still working more. It's just amazing. So that's the big, big thing that's happened in Austin in the last 24 hours. And there's more that's not flippant. You get it, the combativeness. I know a lot of people, they ought to just get along. No, our founders and framers understood the human nature. And they set the institutions up to that's why, you know, the unicameral legislature, I think, is too close to direct democracy. It's supposed to slow things down. They're supposed to have competing interests. But don't you think they, given we lend them the power, and it's our money and our liberty, it's our futures, our children, our families, at stake. Don't you think they should take it seriously instead of this flippancy we've seen from a speaker who appears drunk on the dais presiding over one of the more important debates in the whole session? And the laughing and the, oh, we'll pass ours again, boom, signee dying, everybody cheering and all, and they're running. And there was reports that are all running around clapping each other on the back. Oh, we're so cool. You people are acting, it's shameful the way you're acting. It's shameful. And I don't, as I said, the lieutenant governor is sort of had to be very vocal about the House. I think there are times where in the last session and this session that he's been maybe a little bit overly combative early. But I think his point is he's been there a while and he knows what's going to happen. If you don't get on it early, nothing happens in the House. There was a big piece in the Texan.news, Matt Stringer. Lieutenant Governor Patrick addresses special session agenda, slams the Texas House in session recap. This was a forum hosted by Sherry Sylvester, who used to be his advisor for 7 years and campaign manager in the 2018 reelect. You've heard her on this show at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. He was asked why he believes the governor called the ledge back into special session. Patrick slammed the House, saying too much good legislation died via points of order. He said, I'm tired of the dysfunction of the House. And he's going back several sessions, folks, and it's true. I'm tired of the dysfunction of the House not passing legislation in a timely manner, and I'm tired of these points of order killing good legislation. And I guarantee a lot of members in the House are tired of that too, but that's still their own leadership's fault, and it's their fault ultimately because they vote for their leadership. He said, I begged and pleaded with the House every session to send me your bills sooner. Patrick recounted how the Senate received 1,250 bills from the House with only 3 weeks left in the session, not giving them enough time to be heard. He noted that April 3rd, 121 bills had passed the Senate while only 7 had passed in the House. That is true. The House, spent the entire month of March doing, you know, resolutions, meaningless resolutions, and going away on long weekends. He said, that is right. You heard it here at the time. And then, because the points of order and chubbing, the Democrats in the Texas House have total control. So we're a Republican-majority state, and the House rules are set up to allow the minority party to kill bills they don't like, Patrick lamented, calling on them to change the rules. No, Lieutenant Governor, they don't need to change the rules like you had to in the Senate. They just need to change leadership. Patrick then gained considerable attention and criticism to Speaker Phelan, saying first that Phelan does not communicate well with other elected officials, including himself. I've heard this from lots of points. He claimed the now suspended AG Ken Paxton told him he experienced lack of communication. Well, sure, if the guy's running a secret investigation on you and planning to submarine you later on in a surprise deal in the last few days, of course he's not going to communicate with you. And Patrick claims that one of the reasons in their private discussions over the tax relief proposals that the speaker didn't want to go the other way was because it would give school districts less money to spend. That gives you a pretty good idea you're talking about one of these rhinos. An audience member noted under the wording of Abbott's special session proclamation, the legislature's only tasked with taking up property tax relief based on rate compression, not homestead exemption. And what I already told you, that's right. Patrick said the governor can put that on the call, but he doesn't write the legislation. And the lieutenant governor is historically correct on this. And he got on Ken King. He blamed Ken King of Canadian, who was chair of the conference committee that looked at House Bill 100 and let it die, which was the school fund, give teachers more money and school choice and all of that. It just continues, and I think what we see, though, with Strauss, we saw kind of an elitist, you know, pseudo-elitist, wannabe elitist arrogance of a class arrogance, and then we saw a flippant, loud, now scandalized, now office speaker, and then another speaker where it's just all flippancy. And no wonder we get bad leadership in a Texas Republican-dominated House because they're letting the Democrats be the power brokers on who's speaker. That's their fault. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.